E.T. Phone Home.
I'm just having some brewski beers in my Mojo Dojo Casa house.
Wendy, I'm home.
There's no place like home.
I'm home!
Welcome to the House of Cinema Podcast. I am your host, Joe Aragon. With me today, my wonderful co-hosts Sydney Volpe and Clara Curtis, because today we are recapping South by Southwest 2024. We were all there in person in Austin, Texas. How was that for both of you? Clara, it was your first time in Texas.
Yes, it was.
How was that?
Great birds. Amazing birds.
The loud-ass birds.
They're really loud.
It was so fun. I saw so many grackles, and I saw wild parakeets, and I saw mockingbirds, and I think we saw a robin one day, Sid. I think that was a robin.
Okay, I think so too.
Do you do bird watching, nice. Clara? Do you have like a bird watching book?
I dabble in bird watching. I have an app I told Sydney about.
Oh my god!
Walk. I use Cornell's Merlin Bird ID app. It's pretty great.
Okay.
It's free to use. Everyone can use it.
Do you have like a bird username? Like Clara the Crow?
Oh, that's fun. No, I think it's just my name, because it's like when you log the birds you see, Cornell like actually uses it for like scientific data. Like it's helpful,
really?
To them.
That's
yeah, so they cool. use it for field research.
What if I lied and say I saw a penguin in downtown Los Angeles?
Oh no, they will correct. I told Sid this.
You'd
because
get swatted.
They email you and they're like, hey, there's no way you saw that bird there. Like, I think you made a mistake. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Okay, well,
so
your
yeah,
highlight
great,
of Texas
great
was
birds. So
not even
birds.
The movies.
So on brand.
The movies were good too, and obviously seeing you guys in person. I mean, seeing Joe again and meeting Sid
fine,
in person is also, yeah, that was pretty cool.
But the highlight for Clara was birds, everybody. We are now House of Birds, no longer House of Cinema. It's over. We will chronicle.
It's just a new beginning.
Give them any ideas.
It's just a new beginning.
We will chronicle Clara's journeys as they find more birds across the land. Okay, well, Sid, you've been awesome before. We've been there twice together for Fantastic Fest. This is our third time in Austin, first time for South by Southwest. How was that for you?
Mm-hmm. So good. Like, I keep thinking about the moment where, because we had like a super busy festival, Claire and I got there earlier, we had seen some movies together, and then the day that you got there we all sat down because we didn't even get to see Monkey Man together. So the first movie mm-hmm. we sat down for to all three of us together was
Immaculate.
And I just realized all of a sudden, and I was like, oh my god, this is like such a special moment. We're actually watching a movie all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it was amazing. I love Austin. I do think that like three film festivals, Joe, in the span of 6 months is a lot. Every time
we've only done two
like 12 hours.
We only done two in the span of 6 months. No
Fantastic Fest like 6 months. I'm rounding.
You're rounding. Yes, Fantastic Fest not until September.
Sundance.
It is a lot. The festival grind, for those who don't know, you know, it's fun, of course. I'm not going to deny that going to film festivals, seeing your friends and talking about movies isn't an exciting journey, but it is exhausting, mm-hmm. to say the least. It's a lot of work, you know. There's some days where it is work. I mean, like, you know, we watch movies, three or four movies a day, then come back, record podcasts, you know, late at night. There's one we recorded a podcast like at 11 at night, just so we don't have to record at 7 in the morning. So it's fun. It can be exhausting for sure, especially for all of us. We're outside of that time zone. You know, it was 2 hours ahead for me and an hour earlier for you, right, Sid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then we had daylight savings, so I got put back on my
your regular schedule. Yeah,
but yeah,
not
it's
bad.
Tiring. It is so fun. Like, I feel so lucky that we're able to see friends that live far away like multiple times throughout the year. But yeah, especially a big one like South by Southwest, you don't really realize how like physically and mentally taxing it is, but it's like you're going for like
a week
straight.
Yeah,
my flight was delayed by like 3 or 4 hours on the way home.
I can't believe that happened to you again.
Bad luck, bad airport luck. But by the time I got home, man, I knocked out for several days. It felt like I needed to recuperate big time. But we're here, we're back recapping South by Southwest. Here's how it's gonna go. We saw a lot of movies, and we're not going to go over every single one. We're going to kind of hit on the big ones. So here are the ones we're going to talk about briefly. None of them will contain spoilers to keep you all very going in the blind. We'll let you know if we liked it. Just high level, surface level stuff. But here are the movies. Roadhouse, Sing Sing, Y2K, Babes, Monkey Man, The Fall Guy, Immaculate, Civil War, Cuckoo, The Greatest Hits, and It's What's Inside. Now, we may sprinkle in some extra recommendations here and there because Clara and Sydney saw a lot of movies. And
so
at the end,
movies.
We'll do a quick, here's our top five favorite movies of the fest. So That is how this episode will go. And so without further ado, let's start off with kind of chronologically from the day of the fest. Opening night movie was Roadhouse, which will not get a theatrical release. It'll go straight to Prime. Although, Sid, you were there in a theater with people watching Roadhouse. How was it?
I was there. I think it's so funny that I'm the only one who saw this.
I know. I'm obsessed.
I made the right decision. We'll talk about the movie that Clara saw that was definitely much better. But I have to say, I had a lot of fun with Roadhouse. And it's interesting because that was the opening night. I'd never seen a movie at South by Southwest in the Paramount Theater. And so I kind of thought the crowd was that energized because of Roadhouse. And then throughout the week, I kind of realized that all of the crowds at the Paramount act like that, regardless of what movie it was.
There's something in the air there.
There's something in the air.
There really is.
So people in Austin aren't just totally jacked up on Roadhouse. I kind of had a rude awakening. But it is a shame that this isn't getting a theatrical release because it was so fun to watch in a crowd. Like, everyone was cheering when, like, people were taking their shirts off and, like, the fights
what?
Were really exciting. Yeah, I'm serious. Oh.
Shirts were flying off.
Like, every time someone, well, yeah, are you kidding? They're all, like, jacked up and walking around and, like, sweaty. It's Roadhouse. But
wait, you mean in the movie or in your theater?
Oh, the people in the theater were cheering, and the people in the movie were shirtless.
Oh, I thought you were implying people in the theater were taking their shirts off.
No.
They were like, Jake Gyllenhaal!
That's what I thought you meant. Like,
yeah,
fucking Conor McGregor, and they're taking their shirts off. No. Okay, so that was... Okay, in the movie, I do expect that to happen, okay?
Yes, yeah. That did happen, and, you know, what I appreciated about Roadhouse is that it's very aware of itself as a remake. Like, they were kind of winking at you and poking fun at themselves, and it doesn't try to be like a beat for beat remake, which is good because the original Roadhouse is such like a cool guy, like action movie from the late 80s. Patrick Swayze, you just can't replicate that. Like, he was just like a god. And I think that he had this like beauty and softness to him that made that character really special that I honestly don't think Jake Gyllenhaal was able to tap into like at all. So I can't say anything really special about his presence here, but I think it's kind of Conor McGregor that brings this really entertaining like scenery chewing aspect to it. And Doug Liman, he's doing something interesting with the action. It's very involving. You have some POV shots. It's very energetically shot. Not everyone will love the style, but at the very least, it's not boring to watch. So it's kind of what you would expect. Weak, super weak script, but the performances are fun and the action is fun. And I had a good time. But again, I can't really speak to how it's going to play out like streaming at home.
That was kind of my next question. I mean, this sounds like a movie that would thrive in a crowded theater with family and friends at your local Regal or AMC, but everybody's going to be forced to stream it on Prime. Right. Will that energy still exist if it's just like me and my TV?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on if you're a fan of the original film, if you watch it alone or with people. It is sad because I know like Doug Liman was going to like not attend the premiere in protest because it didn't get a theatrical release. But then I guess it was that was part of the original agreement. So I don't know. I mean, it definitely feels like a streaming movie in a lot of ways, but it was better than I was expecting. So I think it can't hurt to check it out.
I think a lot of people will end up checking it out. There's like no doubt about that in my mind. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is draw enough attraction for anybody to turn the movie on.
Right.
It's going to be on Prime, which is probably, aside from Netflix and maybe Max, is the most accessible streaming service just because of Amazon. I think people are going to watch it. I just don't know if like the response will be the same. That's all it really comes down to.
No, I agree with you. So I don't want to oversell it, but I did. Okay. I had fun. I had more fun than I thought I would.
Prime Yay. Showing up a lot this like past yeah. festival. I mean, I guess they're opening up. They'd had the opening and closing movie in Roadhouse and in it's the Idea of You. Okay, Ooh, so it's inside Idea of You. Selection. Both Prime movies. They're really showing up to show off their stuff. Whether or not they're good is going to be a different story. So okay, so
I've
Roadhouse.
Very
oh, go
good thing. Sorry, I've heard very good things about the Idea of You.
Oh really?
I've Define heard, like, really okay, good
I've heard,
things.
Like, decent things.
I've been hearing people like very enthusiastically being like, "This is such a fun rom com. Like this is a good rom com." And I'm like, "Oh, that's
interesting."
Nice.
Okay. I haven't heard that. I've heard some tweets saying like it's steamy and fun, but not necessarily good. But you know, what is good nowadays? So.
Is that where we're at?
That's where we're... Oh, no. Well, when it comes to romantic comedies that are going direct to streaming, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. The bar for those movies are so low.
Yeah.
We're getting... I mean, Netflix pumps out like 5 or 6 a year, and they're all terrible, usually. And then every once in a while, we'll get like a nice
Stream
kind of diamond
Rye
in the rough. Rye Lane's on Hulu. And like I said, there's always like one or two there, here and there, that do well. I mean, Hitman's a rom-com that'll hit Netflix this summer. It'll do really
oh, yeah.
well.
True.
So
it's a big one.
I'm gonna watch Idea of You again. And
Me
Hathaway
too.
Is enough of a superstar to attract almost anybody to watch it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's already hitting really well with certain niche fan fiction groups. So you know, undoubtedly there's gonna be people who love it. So anyways, okay. Roadhouse, yay or nay?
Yay. It's like an unenthusiastic yay, but a yay nonetheless.
Okay.
Do you want to reveal your Letterboxd score?
I'm probably going to give it a 3.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's move on. Sing Sing is the movie that Clara watched instead of Roadhouse.
Yeah.
You think that was a good decision?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I've heard about Roadhouse makes me be like, I'm so glad I didn't go see Roadhouse, because I don't think that's my type of movie. Uh-huh. I don't think I would have had as good a time. So yeah, Sing Sing was the move for sure. Okay.
Before you jump into Sing Sing, I will give the IMDb summary for those who don't know what Sing Sing is.
Okay.
It stars Colman Domingo. It is the latest A24 distributed film. They picked it up over at TIFF from last year. And it follows Divine G, who is imprisoned at Sing Sing, which is a prison, for a crime he did not commit. And he finds purpose by acting in a theater group alongside other incarcerated men in the story of resilience, humanity, and the transformative power of art.
Based on a true story, which
Based
is
on a true story.
Big deal. Amazing movie. This is like the movie of the year besides Dune Part 2 for me so far. Oh. Obviously, there's plenty of time for other stuff to get up there, but like, I don't know. I think this is going to stay in my top 5. This is such a good movie. It's the cry movie of the year, I feel
yeah.
like, is
yeah,
going to
so
be
far.
What ends up happening. Yeah, it was a very emotional experience watching it, and it's one that I keep thinking about. Colman Domingo is, I mean, we all know, he's phenomenal in anything he's in, but like I do think there's such a tangible passion to this role that like he's really bringing into it that's so tangible, which is really cool. Like it's so good. I love it.
I saw Sing Sing mm-hmm. not opening night, but fortunately they added a buzz screening for Sing Sing, which basically means South by Southwest, if there's a movie that's getting a lot of buzz, they'll show it a second time on a different day. I was very fortunate enough. It was showing the day before I left, and I was able to get a ticket to it. And I know it's a tough one to talk about without getting really deep into
I
the
know.
Story.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, I totally understand by just saying it's good, because
yeah.
it is really good. Colman Domingo, as you said, Clara, has always been an amazing actor, but this feels like we're in like God tier Colman Domingo. Like,
yeah.
It's early to say Oscar stuff right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the movie A24 puts a lot of stock in when it comes to Best Actor, when it comes to Best Picture, best supporting actor. Like this could be the one that they really put on a mantle. I cried a lot, like a lot. I was trying so hard not to cry more than anybody else in that theater, but I heard some other sniffling. So like, I knew I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. The person next to me, shout out to that guy, did not cry once and checked his watch maybe 7 or 6 times.
What?
Which is fine. Whatever. It's cool. Mm. People react differently to movies, but I was like a little like shocked by that. But I agree. It's my favorite movie of the festival. It's currently my favorite movie of the year, I would say. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Clara, there's still so much left of the year. We're only in March.
Yeah.
But it is a movie, I think, once we get closer to its release date, people are going to be eating this up. I don't know. Is it like the past lives of 2024?
Ooh, I like that comparison. I hope it is. The thing that keeps rattling around my brain with it is like Colman Domingo helped introduce it at my screening. And he says like very emphatically, like the reason why I do movies like The Color Purple and Rustin is so that I can do a movie like this. Mm-hmm. Like he really like is behind this movie. And so I hope it becomes The Past Lives. That'd be amazing. That'd be really cool to see.
They kind of feel like the trajectory it's taking, mm-hmm. A similar path, you know, make him, I think it comes out. Oh, the release date.
It's July, right? Yeah.
Okay. So
Summer Cry.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Watch Twisters and then go watch Sing Sing.
What a double feature.
But yeah, right. 5 stars from both of you. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Shit, that's big.
Mm-hmm. It's a special movie. It's a really special movie. Yeah. I am very happy I got a chance to watch it. And I think, like I said, in July when it hits, a lot of people are going to be discovering it and loving it. So mm-hmm. I think July is a good month for it to come out too. It's not too early in the year where it could lose some steam. If it is being pushed for award season, it'll be summer, people will be excited to watch it, and then it could kind of stay alive until award season. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of buzz.
Yeah, it's
Oscar stuff.
Woo, good movie. Okay, so yay nay on Sing Sing, Clara.
Major massive yay.
Okay, perfect. And your Letterboxd score?
5.
Mine was a 5 as well, as Sydney alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. Y2K, another A24 movie that I did not watch. Mm-hmm. Did both of you watch or just Sid?
We watched it together. Was our first movie together. Or maybe My Dead Friend Zoe was, I forget.
Oh, wait, yeah. My Dead Friend Zoe was our first movie together, and then we came back for Y2K later that night. Yeah.
Y2K, I was really excited when I heard about this movie, and then I heard you guys' reactions. I'm like, am I excited for this movie?
Uh-oh.
Here's the premise, and correct me if this is wrong or inaccurate. 2 high school nobodies make the decision to crash the last major celebration before the new millennium of New Year's Eve 1999. The night becomes even crazier than they could have ever dreamed when the clock strikes midnight. And this is starring kind of the big names here is Rachel Zegler, Julian Dennison. That's the only people I recognize just off the
chat. Jaden.
Oh, Mason Gooding.
Wait. Jaden, what's his last name?
Oh, like Jaden Martell.
Yeah.
Oh, from It.
Yeah.
He was in 2 movies at this fest.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Oh, there's a lot of people in this movie. Mason Gooding's in it. Alicia Silverstone's in it.
Oh, Daniel Zolgadri. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his last name. From Funny Pages. I don't know if, Joe, have you seen Funny Pages?
I have not seen Funny Pages.
Funny Pages rocks. Okay. I think you both would like it, but he was good in that.
Okay. Reactions. Sid?
This is another one that there's like a big thing about it that I don't want to spoil too much about, mm-hmm. I guess, because it kind of is like this big, like it takes a total shift mm-hmm. a little bit into the movie. Mm-hmm. And I was excited. I think Kyle Mooney is super funny. I have not seen Brigsby Bear, so I didn't really know what to expect. And I was vibing for it for the first 20 minutes and for a little bit after it takes this big turn.
I was going to say, just for 20 minutes?
Well, it's not like I absolutely hated the rest of it, but it kind of takes a tonal shift where I was like, okay, I don't know if I really like this is doing much for me anymore. I feel like Claire and I were very much on the same wavelength. I was getting very much like SNL skit vibes, and it kind of just throws character out the window and goes for like a lot of like bits and stuff like that. And Claire, I don't know if you you're a little bit older than me, so I don't know if you appreciated like the nostalgia of it all more, because I wasn't like conscious when Y2K actually happened. I was 6 months old, so
okay,
I was there.
Yeah.
I was at Y2K in spirit.
All right. Yeah, that's nice.
Put that on your tombstone. All right.
Oh,
Clara.
Yeah. The like the nostalgia factor is very fun. It played very well in our theater. Like just anything that had even a dash of 90s in it, people are like, "Yeah,
I remember that." And it's like the internet.
I feel so called out right now.
No.
Joe, you would have loved this movie.
This was the movie made for Joe.
Wow. All right.
And that's fun, but there reaches a point where like you can feel like the nostalgia bombs are more important than like kind of what Sid said, which is like character. Like you do feel that, and like sometimes that's fine. Sometimes movies are meant to just be like kind of almost like an unforgiving ride, and that's kind of what this is very much so. And like that can be super fun. It's just it's tricky. I agree with Sid. I don't, after a certain point, the bits kind of stop bidding for me. And I'm a little bit like, oh, okay. Thank you. This is fine. We did not stay for the Q&A.
No, we did not. It was so late.
It was late. And I was so happy because Sid looked over at me and was like, do you want to go? And I was like, yes.
Best moment of the festival is not kind of like, I'm feeling you out. Like, if you want to stay, we can.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. We both just left.
Wow. We were like, let's go. But it was really fun. It's really interesting seeing Rachel Zegler get to do something so different. Like, she's been in so many big like blockbustery like it's really fun to see her in something so different here. The practical effects are really cool. I like
this. Is true
effects.
Some really cool practical work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rachel Zegler, cute. That girl knows what an iPhone is.
Yeah, she's not a 90s girly.
All right. Well, I fear I may love this movie, but I will.
I hope you do.
We'll see. I think if you know kind of what it's going to be going in, it might help a little bit. And Julian Dennison, Claire, I know you were throwing some praise his way. He's
Oh my God.
I love him.
He's so fucking funny. And it's really exciting to see like where his comedic career is going.
Right.
I need him in more because he's got such good timing. Like, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, Julian Dennison was in Deadpool 2. He was in The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm-hmm.
He's the main kid in that one, in both those movies. So
mm-hmm.
I like him a lot as an actor. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what he's kind of doing next. This movie does not have a release date as of right now. According to the Wikipedia page, there is no public release date set. And to kind of support both of your reactions, the initial Rotten Tomatoes score from the 24 critics sits at a 63%.
Okay.
With about an average of 6.5 out of 10. So you're not alone in feeling a little bit mixed about the movie. Like, not even a little bit, actually, at all.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds that's unsurprising to me. It's an interesting film. It's not, you know, it's not great cinema. It's kind of like a fun comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes clear early on that, like, no one is safe. And mm-hmm. I think some people might find that fun. I was kind of disappointed because in the beginning, you kind of start to get attached to these characters. And then it's like, just kidding. That's not really what this movie is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I'm curious to hear what you think of it.
Whenever it's released, I will be there and let you guys know.
Okay.
And hopefully I like it.
Yay.
That's the hope.
Did we rate it the same, Sid?
2.5.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We both gave it 2.5.
From
we
Sid and Clara. Well, all right. We'll move on from that one then. Babes is a movie that I did not watch. This premiered before I arrived at South by Southwest. Here is your quick IMDb summary. Babes tells the story of Eden, who becomes pregnant from a one-night stand and leans on her married best friend and mother of two to guide her. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Babe's reaction? Sid?
I was the only one who saw Babes. Mm-hmm. I loved Babes. This was I guess if you don't count TV Glow, because I already saw it, this was my second favorite of the festival.
Oh, shit. Second fave.
I loved, but it just like is very much my kind of comedy. It really reminded me of Bridesmaids. It's just like a female led, like vulgar comedy, but doesn't feel like it's trying to be like it, like it's trying really hard to be a raunchy comedy. Alana Glazer is so funny. Michelle Buteau is so funny. They have great chemistry. I love Broad City. I forget if either of you have watched Broad City.
I have not, no.
It's super funny. And Pamela Adlon, who directed it, I haven't seen any of her other stuff, I don't think, but she came out to like introduce the film and stuff. And she was just this like punk rock like chick and just seemed like the coolest person. So yeah, it's about, you know, these two best friends and how their relationship is changing as one of them starts a family and can't spend as much time anymore, wants to kind of set boundaries. The other one has been single for a long time and is kind of like has a more wild personality. And yeah, she decides to take on motherhood on her own and it totally redefines their relationship with each other. So I think it totally succeeds on that real emotional, emotional side. And with the characters, but then also it's just like one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. Like there are some bits in this movie that I was crying at.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, it's like everyone in the theater was cracking up so riotously the entire time. I think just because that is how the Paramount is. But I didn't come out of it feeling like, oh, did I just like it that much because it was because of the crowd? I really thought it was like hilarious.
Well, to support your argument, currently out of the 16 reviews for Babes, it sits at 100%.
Oh,
whoa. Not a single bad review just yet. Again, it's early. Only 16 reviews have been inserted into Rotten Tomatoes, but the average score is about a 7.6 out of 10. I think the natural question that came to my brain, I don't know if it did for Clara as well, but is, I know you're not a big Bottoms fan. Mm-hmm. How does it compare for you?
Oh, that's so Bottoms. Interesting. They're so different.
Okay.
I mean, Bottoms is like a high school movie. Babes is very much like a, like, you know, they're adult women, like really handling like the real shit in life. It's not really a rom-com. Bottoms isn't really a rom-com either.
Not in the traditional sense, at least.
Oh, they're so different.
Okay.
When Sydney was giving me a little bit more thorough of a rundown, the way she was describing it reminded me of like almost like a blend of like Together and Obvious Child.
Oh,
that's right. Obvious Child, yes. You were talking about.
Which yes, is, yes, I mean, yes. Like those are like plot wise, they share similarities and they're both yes. comedies. Okay.
Yeah.
Babes also has no release date as of now, aww. But it's acquired by Neon. So okay. Neon, you know, Neon will do likely their best to push that movie, especially because I feel like Neon typically doesn't take on like pure comedies. Like, you know, the last couple of movies Neon has had and the two movies that Neon had at this festival were horror movies. You know, they tend to really lean towards the horror, the dramatic. I feel like you don't get a ton of comedies distributed by Neon. So I think it's interesting that they have this.
Yeah, because Neon, I know that they did like Stress Positions at Sundance, but that has even more of an indie feel. Like Babes feels more along the lines of like a traditional studio comedy.
Hmm.
So it is really cool that they have this one.
All right. So yay taste. Or nay on Babes.
Big yay. Big yay. Fat yay.
Score on Letterboxd?
I haven't rated it yet, but I'm thinking about going for the 4.5. A lot of these, I'm like, should I?
I mean, you would have to
wait
right?
till I watch it again. But yeah, I do kind of have to.
I mean, if we're gonna talk about the next movie, which is a movie you did give 4.5 stars. So,
beep.
I mean, you know, your second favorite movie, The Fest, also would have to be around that.
Yeah. Why? Fuck it. Why not?
Hell yeah.
Enough teasing. Let's get to the next movie. Monkey Man premiered on Monday night at South by Southwest. I flew a red eye on Sunday night to get to Austin, Texas by 8 p.m. on Monday. I had plenty of time to spare, but I wanted to ensure I was there because I did not want to miss Monkey Man. No part of me wanted to miss this movie, and I made it. And we watched Monkey Man. I watched it with Sid. Clara did not make it to Monkey Man, but they will be watching in April. I know that.
Yeah, very soon.
Yeah.
What do I say about Monkey Man without spoiling it? Dev Patel is an incredible human being. And the passion he has for this movie, since it is his directorial debut, was clear kind of from the get-go when he introduced the movie. People were really excited to see him. this was my first Paramount experience. People in there were like yelling, "Let's go, Dev!" Like, not just like when he was on the stage. It was a really special experience. I loved Monkey Man. I think the easy kind of comparison many people are already making, and kind of Dev did a polite thing to do and correct people, is it's not just like the Indian John Wick. And mm-hmm. I know, Sid, you have a lot of thoughts on this as well. But what is your response when people are calling that the movie that?
Yeah, I made a TikTok about this today because someone, like, I had made a video about Monkey Man when we found out it was getting a theatrical release, and someone was like, "It's just a John Wick ripoff." And I hate, that's like my new least favorite thing that people say mm-hmm. before they've even seen a movie. Because fair, a lot of movies are getting made now that are very heavily like trying to copy John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
And we're two huge John Wick fans. I mean,
yes,
if you listen to this podcast, you know we're very big John Wick fans.
Yeah, but this is so not a John Wick ripoff. And I just think it's so reductive. And I think it does a disservice to both films because, I mean, Dev Patel cites John Wick as one of his inspirations for Monkey Man. They make a joke about John Wick in Monkey Man. But he was asked on the red carpet, they were like, "What do you think of people calling this South Asian John Wick?" And he's like, mm-hmm. "I love John Wick, but I grew up with Bruce Lee. I grew up with Bollywood films. I grew up watching Korean action cinema. All of that is in here. Like, I pulled from all of those things." And John Wick pulled from all of those things as well. Like, it's mm-hmm. they are all like, it's like this living, breathing genre. Everything is inspired by everything else. And you can see that in Monkey Man. That's what I liked most about the film, is you can just so clearly see all his inspirations, but you can also see Dev Patel in like every frame, and mm-hmm. he created something new out of all of that. And it doesn't feel like one of those, like, you know, studio action films that's just kind of like a conveyor belt thing. It's gritty, it's colorful, it's well made, it's well shot, it's very just the camera work is really interesting. There's iPhone footage, there's POV shots. It's just so not that. And so if you yeah. saw the trailer and maybe thought it looked like that, rest assured, it kicks ass, and it really did not make me think of John Wick almost at all.
The movie is just brimming with so much lore that is important to Dev and Dev Patel's culture, right. and his family and his country. And I don't want to spoil the movie, and I won't, but I think why I loved Monkey Man, for its grittiness, it feels, I think you said the words, like, it's almost filmed like in this guerrilla tactic way. Like, it doesn't feel polished. It doesn't feel like a polished movie. It's rough around the edges, to say the least. But that kind of adds to the overall, like, fun and experience of the movie. Part of why I love Monkey Man so much is its story. Like, it's really an incredible story, I think. I think when Dev was kind of talking about it afterwards, after the movie, and kind of explaining what he was trying to do, I don't know. I feel like it opened up my own third eye, and I was feeling pretty, like, pretty happy with what I just witnessed. And not to mention, we were both present for that really incredible standing ovation he received yeah. at South by Southwest. It was like 2 minutes long. He was so emotional, kind of watching everybody respond so positively to the movie. Really just incredible stuff. I'm going to watch it again. I have tickets to see it in Dolby when it comes out. I'm really excited about it.
Dolby will be epic. Yeah, I mean, you could just tell how much it meant to him, and being able to inject it with his own culture. He's been working on it for so long. They really like went through the ringer to make it.
Yeah,
it was during COVID.
So many stories about
a lot of shit
that
went down. It just rocks.
I agree. Okay. Yay or nay on Monkey Man?
Yay.
I give it a yay. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I'm not going to go too in detail on the things that don't work for me because I don't want to spoil it. Overall, it works for me. We'll have a whole episode dedicated to that movie mm-hmm. once it comes out.
Indeed. Okay. I gave it a 4.5, but we kind of already said that.
Yeah. Let's talk about Immaculate, a movie Ooh. We saw all together for the Yay. First time during the festival. Immaculate is the latest neon horror movie starring Sydney Sweeney, produced by Sydney Sweeney. It is a religious kind of nunsploitation horror film that I'll admit I was excited going into it. How are you guys feeling about it?
I think we both were kind of like, I unexpectedly became really excited for this.
Yes. Yeah. I think when we got to the fest, I was like cautiously optimistic. And then just over those first few days of the fest, I started to be like, oh, I think I'm like really excited. Like, uh-huh. I feel really stoked on this. Yeah.
And then
we watched it.
So it was they did a good job trying to really immerse us into the world of Immaculate. They had a bunch of nuns in the theater with like red masks on, and they were like, they sang like a choir song before the showing. They were like, let's get people really into Immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it worked exactly for me. I thought it was, you know, fun, but
I found it more distracting just because I was like, why are the only movies doing these little gimmicks, The Fall Guy and Immaculate?
The Fall Guy did it?
Well, with the truck. Guy,
yeah, well, they had like, they were doing bike tricks and shit.
Oh, I got there kind of late. That's a story that we told on Patreon.
That was such a fun time.
We don't need to tell that story on the public side. If you want to hear the story of what happened that day, you can subscribe to Patreon. I missed the bike tricks outside on the street, but in the theater, there was something for Fall Guy. Like, there weren't any stuntmen inside the theater.
Yeah. I just think I love a good gimmick. I'm just like, why does this movie need the gimmick?
I don't know. They got some money. They need to spend it. Get people excited.
I guess.
What studio is Immaculate?
Neon.
It's Neon.
Neon. Okay, that's what I thought.
They don't usually have money.
Use that money to put babes in theaters.
Babes in theaters, man. Okay, look. I was excited going to Immaculate. I'm not saying Immaculate is terrible either. I think I enjoyed it for what it was, but I was not impressed by it, to say the least. I think that overall, and again, on a higher level kind of reaction to it, I thought it was pretty shallow, but it's kind of masquerading as something profound. Like, it's like one of those movies that's trying to be deep, and I don't think it's deep at all, if I'm being honest. Was kind of surprised by how often it chose to just be traditional mainstream horror. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, like, any of the tension in that movie only exists because there's, like, a jump scare. And, like, it's the most predictable jump scares. You know, you're staring at the mesh screen of the confession room, and then something pops out at you. You know, it's a lot of those moments. I liked the last 10 minutes of the movie, but wasn't enough to sell me on the entire movie. Also, jury is out on Sydney Sweeney. I still don't know how I feel about her as an actress.
The jury might have left.
The jury might have said no.
You think so?
I don't know, dude. I'm like, there's been like 5 movies that have been like, oh, this might be the one where becomes a good actress.
And it still hasn't happened for you?
But I will say, and she doesn't have to be a good actress, by the way, to be successful or for me to enjoy her movies.
Okay.
I might be saying no. But what I was going to say is that she had a pretty kick-ass quote where she was like, I had to do, it was similar to what you said about Coleman Domingo. Like, she was like, I had to do Madam Web or whatever so I could get in with Sony. That's how I was able to do Immaculate. That's how I got Barbarella. So she's, you know, she's, I think, more strategic than people think. But yeah, I'm just not totally sold. She's really good at like the really big screaming moments, but then she can't sell me on the rest of the character.
That's exactly where I sit. Clara?
Yeah, if we're saying like where the jury is, the jury, one foot's in the door and one foot's out the door. The jury is in the doorway. I feel like if anything, I agree with Sid on the like screaming thing. She's the TikTok editors who make edits of like top 10 best acting performances of all time. And then it's just like video after video after video of like white men screaming.
I abandoned my boy.
Every day I wake up.
It's exactly that. Those guys, their world is about to get rocked by
They're
going to
go ham with those edits.
So do you cut this out if you think it's too much of a spoiler, but like, suspiciously close to the Mia Goth thing.
Not a spoiler.
Oh.
Because I do like wonder if they're like freaked out about.
Yeah. Yeah. Mia Goth did it better. for being honest.
I agree.
Like, that's better movie. Coughing baby atomic bomb, whatever.
Oh no.
Coughing bomb hydrogen baby.
I just think like Mia Goth and Pearl versus like Sydney Sweeney and Immaculate, we're talking like just night
and
day.
Leagues. Yeah.
I really
Little League versus
different.
LMBB.
MLB.
MLB? What is it? I don't know what it is.
League Major Baseball, LMB.
We're a movie podcast.
This is why I should not be making sports references.
That was good. Still a good metaphor, though. Still a good metaphor.
Thank you. I'm trying to think what else.
Nice
I mean,
things to say. It looks good.
It's beautiful.
It looks good. From like a for like as a born again atheist, the religious aspects are interesting to dig into and talk about.
Okay.
Just maybe not in the intended way that I think the people making the movie wanted them to be dug into.
Mm-hmm.
I really like all the conversations we've had about Immaculate, maybe more than the movie itself.
Yeah, maybe one of the most interesting movies in terms of that. Like, we had a really good mm-hmm. conversation that night
mm-hmm.
after we saw it.
It's a good Wendy's midnight post-movie meal discussion movie.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm not feeling high on Immaculate. I'm so curious to see how this movie's going to do when it's released later this week. It comes out on Friday of recording. So this comes out Tuesday. Immaculate will hit theaters this Friday. How do you think the public will respond? Because initially, I was thinking, before I seen the movie, I was like, well, if it's a neon movie, typically they try to go for more, you know, the more wild, more cuckoo, more... indie inspired horror movies. I mean, like, Neon is responsible for distributing Infinity Pool, and Inez Men was one from last year. I never watched, but definitely they tried to pick their horror movies a little less mainstream and more niche, I guess you can say. Teton is another good example. But so when I had not seen Immaculate, I thought, oh, if Immaculate's like that, general public won't love it. Now that I've seen the movie, it really does feel like, I mean, I'm not going to call it a Blumhouse movie, but it does have like Blumhouse movie qualities to it. I wonder how the public will react to it.
I mean, there have been screenings already.
True.
And I know a lot of friends who went out to them, and I mean, the ratings are kind of all over the map. Like, no one is like loving it, but I'm seeing some 3.5s, like some 4s, and then some like 1.5s, you know?
Yeah, definitely over the place. Currently, it's hit a 70% with 33 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
That's high, actually.
6.3 average, so we're not talking a high average at all.
I will say the interesting thing, I feel like since its premiere, there has been a shift in how Neon's marketing the movie, and they're really, really digging into that whole, like, the last 10 minutes are the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. And, like, that really has become the way they are selling it now. And I do think that's going to be to their benefit, because I think that that idea really grabs, like, the average viewers' attention more now. Like, that sells very well, I think, in like a clickbait world, unfortunately.
Do you think the last 10 minutes, well, it's not even 10 minutes, I'd say the last like 3 or 4 minutes, was it that crazy though?
No,
I don't think so, but
that's always that question of like, okay, but think about how many horror movies us three like we watch in a year
collectively.
It's way more than the average person. And like, so I think the average like moviegoer is probably going to get pretty taken aback by it.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think this will be the thing that people are like, oh my God, so shocking and disturbing. And I don't think it's like nothing, you know?
No.
But I did also like, for me, I'm like, okay, I guess I like it conceptually, but I also felt like it was trying really hard to do something shocking.
Yes.
It's a bit of like an
artificial
upon itself Lois moment.
Oh.
So I don't know. Yeah, because it was weird. Like, I think if it had really leaned into that more serious, like sometimes those jump scares, I'm like, those are some of those blatant, like poorly executed jump scares I've seen in a while. And then sometimes it would have these really boring stretches. I'm like, are you a Blumhouse movie or are we watching like slow cinema?
I think it feels like it can't make up its own mind.
Yeah, it got really stuck there, I think. All right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Sweeney is going to pull in a crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She has fans for sure.
Yeah.
The reaction will be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah. What are we all rating it?
I think we all gave it a 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah. Yep.
2.5 club over here for Immaculate. We'll go more into this later, probably next week. This week, mm-hmm. we get some new releases. Ghostbusters, Immaculate, Late Night with the Devil, I have tickets for. I'm really excited about that.
Dude, I want to see the hype for this. I barely knew anything about this, but then all of a sudden it's getting like
100% Rotten Tomatoes right now with only about 52-53 reviews, but the average is about an 8.2, which is really high.
Yeah.
I'm pumped, man. I'm so excited.
Really pumped. I'm really excited.
So I'm seeing it Thursday night. I'll be there.
Ooh.
Matrix Wednesday night, Late Night with the Devil on Thursday night, and I see Ghostbusters.
Matrix in theaters?
Yeah, man. 25 year anniversary. Everywhere. It's not just my theater being in LA. Everywhere is doing it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yum. Good luck finding a seat though.
I'm good at snatching them. You gotta monitor. People will return tickets.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I see it Wednesday night at AMC near me at like 10 o'clock at night because the 8 o'clock show was sold out.
Yay. Yeah,
anyways, we'll have more on Immaculate later.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to switch over to The Fall Guy, a movie that Sydney and I both saw. The latest David Leitch joint, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt and Winston Duke? No. What's his last name?
Yeah.
Duke? Yeah.
Yeah.
Duke is just, I think of Duke Leto every time. So I don't know if anybody else actually has that name. Winston Duke. Aaron Taylor Johnson, that's essentially your cast for The Fall Guy. Hannah Waddingham. I liked this movie, but
a complicated relationship with this movie.
You do.
I cannot believe I walked out and thinking, okay, that was fun, but like the amount of hype this movie had from critics who I really admire, who tend to be a little bit more critical and tend to be a little bit more, not mean, but they're just harder to please, I suppose. I was shocked by like how many of them loved it, you know?
Yeah.
Sid, how did you feel?
I mean, I think I securely enjoyed it more than you, but I do have the same, I mean, movies like this, I think like any David Leitch movie, I have a really complicated relationship because I usually kind of end up on like, sure, you know? Like, it has a lot of issues, but I had fun. The actors are charismatic. But that's kind of it, you know? Like, it's not, I'm not getting out of The Fall Guy what I'm getting out of John Wick.
No, you're not. And I don't know if that this particular movie is trying to aim for that. But that's kind of my issue with The Fall Guy, without getting too deep into it. It feels like it's not enough rom-com for me to love it. It's not enough action for me to love it as an action movie. And then it just has this big David Leitch wormhole where he just goes down this like very convoluted path. And I'm like, why are we going to this side of the story?
Right.
We don't need to explore this. It's too much. Let's go back to Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. They're charismatic enough. They have great chemistry that if we just stay there with them, I probably would like this movie more. But instead we're like meeting like crime bosses and things like that. And I just don't know why we're doing that, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, I agree. It feels very random, and I had forgotten about that kind of like crime. Like you see in the trailer, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character is like missing, and he gets caught up in this web of whatever, like crime. And the movie started, and I was like, oh my god, what a sweet little rom-com. They're like working on a movie set together. He's a stuntman. She's an aspiring director. And then the crime plot starts to happen. And I was like, oh, yeah, damn it.
Yeah.
And then they're like apart for most of the movie.
That's the other wild part to me. It's like it's hard to really buy. When they're together, their chemistry is so good that I think it's easy to forget they're not really together throughout most of the movie. Like they spend most, I would say like 75% of the movie, not in the same vicinity at all. And so as a rom-com, I'm like struggling to really fall in love with them as a couple.
Yeah. Hmm. Cross-cutting them and doing split screen of them is not the same as having them share scenes.
That's true. Although I have thoughts on that scene later. But regardless of how I feel, this movie is going to go do gangbusters at the theaters.
Oh yeah. Buku bucks.
Buku bucks, man. This movie is about to make a lot of money. And I think people, this is going to appeal to like young people, to old people, to everyone. Like anybody who like wants to have a good time at the theater, I think this movie is going to do really, really well.
Yeah. And I think that's what some of the critics did appreciate about it, is that it is kind of that like classic action blockbuster with like real star power. Because it is really fun in that way. And I obviously like that it's about like appreciating stunt performers and how it's like a really overlooked part of the movie making business. And they did do a lot of cool stunts in order to actually make it. They did. They set like a world record for how many rolls like a car.
Yeah. Yeah. Like eight. I think they did
six or eight
car flips or car rolls, whatever you call it.
Yeah. Which is super cool. I just wish, I'm like, but now you're making it into this fantastical thing when it could have all been about making movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it just has its hand in too many cookie jars. And I ultimately had fun with it. I'm going to see it again. I have tickets to see it again in like the best format I could find. I don't know if it's IMAX or Dolby. It's one of them. But I'm going to watch it again. I was also tired, and you know, festival brain is real. So I want to give it another shot and see how I feel about it. So, okay. Fall Guy, yay or nay?
I give it a yay. I mean, I give it 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Let's move to another one we all watched together. Maybe the surprise of the fest, at least for me. Alex Garland's Civil War.
Ooh, this is
a big
like
one.
The big boy.
Clara?
What?
I looked to you after the movie ended, and I looked to you and said, I think I like that a lot. And then Clara's response was, yeah, I think I fucked with that hard.
Yeah.
Now, I know I've said it multiple times in this episode that we're not going to spoil anything, and we're not going to, but this particular conversation is going to be hard to have because it's really hard to talk about this movie intelligently without going into spoilers. So we're sticking no spoilers. I'm so sorry if this sounds really just high level, like bullshit, like it was good, X, Y, Z, Y. But like, we need to save the conversation for the actual episode or for when the movie comes out.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is I was doubtful after Men that he could pull this off. I was nervous that the trailers were indicating a direction he was going with this movie, and I was not liking that direction. And what I'll say is it doesn't really go in the direction many people may assume it is going into. And it's an experience. Like, I mean, that sounds corny to say, but like, this movie is loud. I was scared more watching this movie than watching Immaculate, if I'm being honest. Mm. I jumped more during Civil War than I did watching Immaculate.
I'll never forget. There was this one moment where it is like a pretty big jump scare, but you jumped so
I jumped so fucking high.
It was so funny.
Joe's a jumper.
I'm a jumper. Yeah. I'm a jumper. And intense movie is just like stressful mm-hmm. stressful, and maybe in the last 30 minutes of this movie is my favorite experience of the entire fest. It was I was pretty impressed by the movie. So that's like my high level. I know I gave nothing to anybody listening right now, but it's for a reason, because when we do an episode of this movie, we're going to really need to take time kind of breaking what works, what doesn't work. That being said, Sid, your reaction?
Yeah, so I was consulted after you guys had a moment. You were like, or I think I went and I was like, what did you guys think? And you guys were like, wow, like I really like really liked it. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that moment where you're like, oh, no, we didn't agree. But I don't know. It wasn't like while I was watching it, I disliked it. I liked this movie. I mean, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. That was where I was kind of wavering between a 3.5 or a 4. So like I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But watching the film, I think there was just something that felt like it was missing for me. And it took me a while to kind of figure out what that was. And I think it is going to be the crux of like the conversation about this film and what
I'm avoiding
it
on purpose because it is like maybe a slight spoiler. if I'm being honest.
Yeah. It's not, and it's not like any like event that happens in the film. It's like the entire approach that Garland is taking. Exactly. So it colors the whole thing. And while there's this one part of it that I loved, it just feels like, and then he there was an interview with him that got released about some of his kind of political views.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, the gaps are kind of filling in. I understand why he did that. And I felt a little bit vindicated because I was like, okay, this is absent for reasons that I actually don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But again, art is not, you know, it's out for you to perceive it how you're going to perceive it and have the experience with it. Just because a filmmaker believes something doesn't mean you can't have a certain experience with a film and have your own experience with it. So I don't know. It's going to be one of the most divisive films of the year, I think.
I agree. I agree. Clara, response? Your reaction to Civil War?
Yeah, I still fuck with it heavy, I think. it ripped. I don't know. I think I went in very, very hopeful because, like, 9 out of 10 times a Garland project is, like, it feels like it's exactly up my alley. So yeah. I'm, like, I'm so stoked. I don't think I was prepared for where it goes at all. Like, we've kind of already touched on. I think ultimately it works for me. I will say, like, I read so many people's writings throughout the week of like reviews and interviews and just like think pieces and essays and all that kind of stuff for film. And I will say, like, this last week, the Civil War writing I've read has been the most interesting and the most, like Sid said, like divisive writing I've read. And so it's really interesting and I would argue like super exciting how differently everyone's taking the film, which I think is really fun. I still haven't written my own thoughts about it because I'm still kind of...
I can't wait
to read what both of you write.
I'm very behind.
I keep putting it off.
Yeah, I have 9 more movies from South By to write about. I'm slowly but surely getting through them all.
I've started my review like 3 times and I'm just abandoning it. I'm just like, I will do this later.
I know, because that one I think especially I want to like... I don't know.
Take my time on it.
Yeah. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It's up there as one of my favorites of the whole fest.
Okay.
Kirsten Dunst fans, we are eating good. She really has defined like all the cinema of my lifetime, and I am so thankful for that.
And on that note, Kaylee Spaney also very, very good.
Yeah, very, very good.
She's having herself a little not year since. Priscilla's last year, but between Priscilla, this, she's going to be in the new Alien movie. Very bright future for Kaylee Spaney. I won't spoil again, but Jesse Plemons is in this movie, which we know from the trailer.
Yeah.
An incredible scene, if I want to just put that out there right now with him.
Yeah, he's very good in it.
Stephen McKinley Henderson, shout out. If you missed him in Dune Part 2, you should see
him. He's great in this. Everybody's good in this. Everyone
is. Dude, I had a dream about him where I like met him and I was like, I was so sad you weren't at the Q&A. You weren't there for the premiere of Civil War. And he was like, I was. And I was like, I didn't see you. But he wasn't there.
He was in your heart.
He was in my heart all along.
I'm not having those dreams. But at any rate. Okay. Civil War, I think I've landed on a 4 out of 5. I haven't read the review yet, but that's kind of where I'm sitting right now with it.
So you hated it.
Oh, so I hated it. You're right. Despise that movie.
Just say nay.
It'll be really interesting to see how the public received this movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be insufferable being on the internet and being on Twitter. It's not going to be fun.
No.
But do you guys think it'll do well in IMAX? I mean, it's going to be an IMAX movie. I'm going to rewatch it in IMAX. How do you think the movie will do?
It's an election year, bro.
It is.
People might want to go see this.
People will want to go see this.
They're going to be a little disappointed, depending on what they're expecting.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's so funny you say that, because there are a lot of people who have seen those trailers and do not want to watch it because of what the direction it seems like it's going, or like what the story they think is about. But like... all I'm saying is that it's really not that.
Yeah,
the trailers make it seem like it's about this certain type of story.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not about that at all.
Yeah,
I agree. And I was thinking about that a lot. It's like,
Well, it's a risky marketing move, right? It's like, okay, you're getting people talking about the movie, but you're also at that point forcing a lot of people who don't want to, like, the crowd of people who are like, I don't want politics in my movie.
Mm.
They're not going to go watch the movie because of the trailers. They're assuming it's like this leftist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them not watching this movie, but when they find out it's not about that, will that marketing backfire on A24?
Ooh, and then the people who watch it because they are intrigued by the political approach that the trailer makes it look like, it's not going to be what they expect either.
Exactly.
I know. I saw a tweet where he was like, "I don't care what the politics are in Civil War. I just hope it's either like this or this." And I was like, "It's a secret third thing."
It really is a secret third thing. That's like what people need to be aware of. And I don't know if the trailers are communicating that at all.
Not at all, because I rewatched the trailer after we saw it, because I was just like, that's so interesting. Like, every memorable moment from the trailer is in a totally different context in the trailer than it is in the film. Like, it's just, the whole thing is just so, it's so different. It's like very jarring almost.
Even the poster is extremely misleading, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
Very misleading poster.
Hate that poster, if I'm being
honest. I won't say
why.
It's okay. It's not, I've seen worse, but.
Yeah.
I just, we'll get into it in the fall guy.
When
Civil War comes out. Anyways, okay, let's move on.
Civil War.
After Civil War, we watched the neon Hunter Schafer horror movie Cuckoo.
Yes.
Cuckoo, cuckoo. This movie was about birds, and Clara was very excited.
Bird watchers rejoice.
Bird watchers
are talking
rejoice.
About birds. They're talking about birds. Finally, the representation I've been looking for since Cabinet of Curiosities, The Murmuring.
It's not really about birds, but birds play a very important role in this movie.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting. Cuckoo. That being said, I didn't hate Cuckoo. I liked Cuckoo more than Immaculate.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Sid, did you like it more than Immaculate?
Marginally. I think I
Yeah, you don't seem very high on
less.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, I found it like boring most of the time. I thought it took a long time to kind of like get to the point. But I was kind of disappointed that I felt that way because there's so much. I think, man, Hunter Schafer is the real deal, dude.
Dude, Hunter Schafer is the real deal.
And this,
like, great.
Put her in everything. And I like kind of the kooky premise. I like, it feels kind of like giallo.
The kooky
inspired.
Premise? The cuckoo premise?
Oh, did I say kooky? I like how the director, Tilman Singer, before he walks off the stage, he goes, "Let's get cuckoo." And everyone just like erupted into a
like, yeah!
Let's get cuckoo, baby. Yeah, I agree. Hunter Schafer.
Cuckoo.
Hunter Schafer is fantastic. Dan Stevens, a little ridiculous, but in a good, zany way.
Yeah, people love Dan Stevens.
How do you think people react to this? Someone I talked to was like, "Oh, it's going to be like Barbarian." And I was like,
"No,
no.
I think it's Infinity Pool, dude."
I think it's more in the Infinity Pool vein as well. I don't think it's as weird or in your face as Infinity Pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is. I just don't think it's going to be like Barbarian level of success or hype.
Mm-hmm. Clara, what are your like overall thoughts?
I think I liked it overall. I feel like it's very like European horror, which is super fun. I think that's such a cool section of horror that like is not always brought over to the US. So I'm excited it's neon and it has Hunter Schafer and like there's all these draws that I think are going to get a lot of people in to see it. And I think this is why, like, we talked about, like, the reaction from the Paramount was very, like, bizarre in a lot of certain spaces, like, the way the crowd was reacting. Like, I just think it's occupying a space that the average, like, U.S. viewer is not used to for horror or for maybe film in general, which I think works. I mean, for me, that works really well. I think it's really fun. I enjoy it. The sensibilities of it are really interesting. But... yeah, general audience, I'm a little like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work for them, like, at all, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, just like how Sydney Sweeney will be a big draw for Immaculate, I mean, Hunter Schafer is going to be a huge draw for so many people who are not experienced with like you said, European horror, or maybe mm-hmm. even horror in general. Mm-hmm. But because Hunter Schafer is so popular, it will bring in a lot of different moviegoers, to say mm-hmm. the least.
Yeah.
Like when we were in that theater, the amount of Hunter Schafer fans behind us was crazy. Like they were screaming her name.
Yeah.
Even the person who sat with us, she's a volunteer at South by Southwest, and she asked me to save a seat. Mm-hmm. She told me she doesn't like horror movies, but she loves Hunter Schafer.
Oh my God.
And that's why she was there. So the movie will bring in an audience not familiar with this type of genre. And I don't know how that reaction will go over. I think it's gonna go over poorly.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest. But I overall liked it. Mm-hmm. I kind of described it in my Letterboxd review as like when you throw spaghetti against the wall and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't.
Mm.
It just feels like there's a lot of ideas just being thrown against the wall and some of it works. And mm-hmm. other parts I'm like they just kind of abandon it and it goes by real quick. But we'll talk more once Cuckoo hits a release date.
Some freaky moments.
Yeah. Did you rate it?
I gave it a 3.
Okay. I think that's where I'm gonna put it too.
Like a 2.5, so not far.
Not far.
It was also one of the movies where like I was really, was this our last movie?
It was our last movie.
This is your guys' last movie,
spent. And I'm like, I wonder if I was a little bit more alert.
Well, not only were you guys spent, but we had ordered pizza to our Airbnb that was supposed to be delivered at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we got out of the movie like at 11:15. But I will admit, there was a certain point of Cuckoo where I was like, all I could think about was that
Me
pizza.
Me too. I was like, we gotta go. Like, we gotta get to the pizza.
The pizza's been sitting on the porch.
Joe, I was so done. I just like slouched way down in my chair and Joe like laughed at me.
Dude, I was like, oh, we're tired. We're tired.
Yeah, I have scoliosis.
Yeah. That's so real.
Too many movies. Yeah.
Cuckoo, I'm gonna say yay.
Especially if you like that
European horror that Claire was describing. I think it's a really mm-hmm. good description of it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Last two movies we'll go over very quickly. The Greatest Hits is a romantic comedy gonna be on Hulu in a couple of weeks. It premiered at South by Southwest. It is a movie that features Superman himself, David Corenswet, and Lucy Boynton. And who is the other actor? Do you remember his name?
Justin Min.
Justin Min.
He was in that Sundance movie.
He was. He was in that Sundance movie Shortcomings.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The Randall Park one. Did you watch that, Clara?
Oh, no. I keep meaning to.
Yeah, that. I know he was like one of the leads in that one, but he is in the movie. It is basically, without giving too much away, a like sci-fi romance about a young woman who like travels through time or back in time via music. This movie started, and about 2 minutes into the movie, I leaned over to Sydney and I said, I fear I'm going to love this movie. And lo and behold, as credits were rolling, I was like, this shit was my jam. I adored The Greatest Hits.
Why?
I'm not going to give too much. Why? I mean, why? It's kind of everything I like in a rom-com. It is a sci-fi aspect to it. There's great music. I think the characters have really good chemistry. I was actually really shocked by David Corenswet's chemistry with Lucy Boynton. I thought they worked really well together. I don't know. I just kind of love everything about it, if I'm being honest. I know you weren't the biggest fan, so tell us what didn't work for you.
No, but I thought it was decent. I know I was giving Joe shit because it's just not, it's like such a romantic movie and that's like not my thing, but I am very glad. I think people will love this.
Yeah.
It's coming out. Yeah. Hulu on April 12th. So,
dang, same day as Civil War.
Oh,
greatest
really?
Hit Civil War double feature.
Double feature. Holy shit.
Wow.
You gave them the same rating.
The Greatest War? the civil hits?
But yeah, I like Lucy Boynton. She was in Sing Street. I think Sing Street is so good. She was super cute in that. What did I not love about? I think it's just a little too mushy-gushy for me. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a line in the movie where he goes like, thanks for setting the night on fire with me.
Well, but then he goes, I don't know why I just said that. And it was kind of funny.
Dude, it was so funny. I was kicking my feet. I even nudged Sydney. I was like kicking my feet quite literally right now.
And there is is one really, like, the whole thing is that she, you know, for reasons, can't listen to music, and they do go to one of those, like, silent dance parties, and I thought that scene was really beautiful and cute.
Love that movie. Big fan of The Greatest Hits. I think, yeah, if you just like a good old rom-com with a sci-fi twist to it,
yeah,
I think people are going to like it.
It's very, you know, it's like, I'll look for you. Like, it's very earnest.
I love that type of movie. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. Good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I walked out of that theater, like, freaking floating.
Aww. Yeah, it was very cute.
I had breakfast tacos in the morning. It was just a good day. good day. So, anyways, that was The Greatest Hits. Hits Hulu pretty soon. Last movie I'll mention is It's What's Inside. I'm only mentioning this movie because Netflix bought this movie at Sundance for like $17 million, yeah, which is a lot of moolah.
Yeah.
I saw it because the hype at Sundance was pretty high. Very People strong. Were like really riding for this movie. I liked it. I this is one of those movies that's like the perfect example of like going in blind. I wouldn't call it a horror movie. I'd call it more of like a thriller.
Oh.
Hmm.
Nothing about it is actually scary. But it is one of those movies where the premise itself is so original and feels really fresh that going in blind is kind of the best way to experience it. Another great way to experience it is in a theater with people. However, you can't do that because Netflix bought it. And that is the biggest bummer about this movie.
Womp womp.
It is going to play well at home. But like, I would enjoy this significantly less if it was just me and Netflix.
Hmm.
Half the reasons it was so fun was because like everybody's laughing at the same shit. You know, and yeah. I know this is a conversation we just had with Roadhouse, but like, this is another perfect example of like a really fun community experience that no one will experience. So.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
That being said, it is a fun thriller. Good twists, good editing. The editing is like super flashy, super fresh. People will enjoy this. It's
Would you
be a
give
good,
it
a good time? You give it a 3.5.
Oh, hell yeah!
Okay. Yeah, I still liked Lower it. I was still a big think. Fan.
Good.
Yeah, I think
I'm
the
excited.
Average. A lot of people in Letterboxd have given like a 4 or so. But like, I wasn't that high on it. I think it loses some of its steam in the second half.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll talk more about that movie when it hits Netflix, which I think is sometime this summer. I'm not really sure when. So. Mm. And that rounds out the big movies out of South by Southwest. Before we close out our episode, we're going to do this. We're going to talk about our, well, not going to talk. We're going to do a quick ranking of our 5 favorite movies of South by Southwest. But this includes anything. So it can be small movies, screeners at home, whatever you watch. So I will start us off very quickly. My top 5. At 5, I put It's What's Inside. 4, The Greatest Hits. 3, Civil War. 2, Monkey Man. Number 1, Sing Sing. That rounds out my 5. Clara?
Oh, wait, hang on. I'm pulling up my list.
Sydney?
All right. At number 5, I have Ghostlight. At number 4, I have Azrael. 3, I have Babes. Monkey Man is at 2, and I Saw the TV Glow is at 1.
Okay, you can't choose I Saw the TV Glow again.
But
Sydney chose it. You chose the number 1 for Sundance. You can't choose the number 1 for South.
Trans rep, put it in.
Yeah, hello.
I'm not
Hello.
Saying.
Hello. Hello. What conversation are we having?
I'm going to start a dialogue.
What about I Wish You All the Best? Where is that one at, huh, everybody?
What even was that? Oh.
My review's pending, but it's not good.
That's so funny.
I just logged it. I'm not even going to review
you
it.
You airing us out like that.
Well. Okay.
Whatever. Okay, if you don't want me to put I Saw the TV Glow, Civil War is at 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Clara.
Okay, I'm cheating because 4 and 5 are going to be my 2 favorite documentaries and 1 through 3 are going to be my 3 favorite narratives. Because I saw 21 movies and I just want to talk about them all.
Wow.
And I rank my documentaries separate from my narratives. Okay.
Okay.
My 2 favorite narrative or my 2 favorite documentaries were Adrian in the Castle and We Can Be Heroes. Those are in that order. And then top 3 narratives, it's going to be number 3 is Civil War, number 2 is I Saw the TV Glow, Joe.
Wow.
And 2 is or no, 1 is Sing Sing.
Well, you can choose I Saw TV Glow because it's the first time you saw it.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just saying I can't have
I'm just saying Sydney can't choose it because she chose it for Sundance number 1,
well,
too.
Well, I viewed it.
But maybe
we're trying
it's
to spread the wealth.
Good. Maybe it's just that good of a movie.
I mean, it clearly is that good of a movie. I'm just trying to...
I think you're just jealous because you missed it at both.
I have missed it two times at both festivals. It's screened at.
Neither
missed
of you
it
can
list times.
Sing Sing because I'm just pissed off. I didn't get to see it.
Fair.
All right. Anyways, okay. Good list.
Thank you.
Overall thoughts on South by Southwest, Clara?
It was fun. There were birds. There were friends. It was so loud. I am tired, but I had a good time.
Okay.
Real.
Sid, overall thoughts on South by Southwest?
I loved it. I mean, yeah, just like not much, like can't really assign words to the three of us being together and being able to record together and watch movies together. It was amazing.
It was so fun that it sort of inspired Clara to potentially look at places in the Los Angeles greater area.
Yeah, it was so sickening. It was so sickening because I got to Austin with Sid and it wasn't even that hot, but I was like, see, this is exactly why I would never. And then and then on the plane ride home, I text them and I'm like, guys, I'm looking
recording
at apartments.
In person, it's just so different in the greatest way.
Really good. Yeah. And I just love spending time with you guys.
I know you guys. Yeah. I learned that. I already knew this, but Claire is definitely the coolest House of Cinema member.
What the fuck? That's not true.
Claire, it was so cute. We like had it was just the two of us.
We were our own roomies.
We were,
and
our
it was true. It was
and then
fun.
The three of us were roomies, and then Joe was alone.
Then I was alone.
All alone. It was
I
so
texted us.
Text,
he was like, "Oh, it's so empty."
Dude, it was kind of scary.
We literally were like, "It's so sad and lonely," and I was like, "I'm gonna cry."
I had a freaking two bedroom like apartment to myself at that point.
Yeah.
Anyways, Claire, just pretend you're a bird and you need to migrate.
Yeah, ooh, good
to
point.
The warmth.
That is to the warmth. That is necessary.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, I'm sold.
Oh, thanks, guys. Put it into terms I understand.
I thought South by Southwest was fun. It's really big because there's also
really
like, the
big.
Music festival, the
so
conferences
big.
Going on. But that's,
yeah.
It's awesome. It's just, you know, it's a lot to take in at first. But I feel like after a couple of days, I was adjusted and was able to kind of just have fun with it. So I had a great time. Joe?
I agree with all the things you both have said. I think South by Southwest was definitely a lot bigger than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. And that is mostly because it is a tech fest, a music fest, and a movie fest. I was in the middle of the greatest hits. Sydney is to my left and some random person to my right. And I started talking to the person to my right, assuming they were also like in the film sphere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out they're not at all. They were just there for the tech part, but they were just watching a movie. And that was kind of the beauty of South by. And that's kind of like when it really hit me. Like it is this amalgamation of all these like different people from different fields kind of experiencing the festival at the same time. And that's really cool. Just bigger than I anticipated. You know, every time I've gone to Austin, it's for Fantastic Fest, and that's a bigger festival, but not like South by big, you know, not that big. So that was really fun and exciting. Austin as a city, I will always love. It is a little humid and muggy for my taste, but I can deal. It wasn't that bad in March. It gets worse in September, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plus, the food is very good. I'm a big fan
of the
Austin food.
Great food.
We got to get Terry Black's with a bunch of
friends. We got Terry Black's.
That was fun.
Breakfast tacos multiple times.
The tacos there.
Burgers.
Slap.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burgers were really good.
Just a great city. Even if you're not going to South by Southwest, Austin is worth visiting.
Yeah, I agree.
Check it out. Well, on that note, I think that is about it. Everybody listening, thank you for listening. Have a great day, night, week, and weekend. We'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye, listeners.
Bye-bye.